All right, part two. So last time I spoke on this, I introduced the whole idea about what the word believe means. You know, when someone says just believe, what do they actually mean? How do we believe? And today I'm going to address the idea of if we're going to believe, what will we believe in? What is it exactly that we are believing in? What do I believe? What is this thing that Christians talk about? What does the Bible teach? Is it just a story that you're supposed to think about? Is it a fable? Is it something that happened more than 2,000 years ago and has nothing to do with our lives today? Is it something that is absolutely relevant to every second of our lives today? I want to propose to you that this faith that you believe in is absolutely relevant for every second of your life today. Journey with me today, tonight, as I share with you what the Lord would have us understand tonight. How many of us wear glasses? Yes, a few of us. If I take off my glasses, I just see color. I can't really make out shapes. I can see roughly what's in front of me, but mostly I see color. But when I put on my glasses, I can see features. I can see beauty, right? Everyone turn to your neighbor and say, there's beauty in you. Our God is a creative God, and He creates beauty. What does spectacles, what do glasses do? Glasses gives us perspective. Next year is the year 2020. 2020 or Vision 2020 represents perfect vision. And so if we have perfect vision, we can see clearly what's in front of us. Now, sometimes when we are taught something, we may have a certain perspective about something, but oftentimes that perspective may not be completely correct. Sometimes you may be given just a snippet of the full picture. And tonight I want to present to you some of the things that we as believers, we as Christians may have been taught and presented throughout our lives as a Christian. Whether you've been a Christian for 3 months or 20 years, there's always more to learn. Amen? There's always more about this God, this incredible being that created you and I, that we can learn and that we can grow to love and that we can grow to understand. So join me as we open our perspectives to understand this God that we serve. What do we believe? We need to believe the gospel. This is what Christians believe, the gospel. The gospel means good news. The question is, why is it good? And why is it news? If you've been around church for a while, it's easy to just take those two words at face value that, of course, it's good news. Yes, Jesus came and died for me. I'm a sinner. But if you've not been around church all your life, if you're not a religious person, and you're told that there is good news, you may not always agree or see the need or understand that this news that Christians tell us about is actually good. Or maybe it's not news. So what is this good news? Why is it good news? Is it good because God can fix all of my problems? You know, sometimes people may come to Jesus or they may come to a saving faith in God because they are in a point of need. In the Bible, there's a story of the prodigal son. And it speaks about two sons, the older son and the younger son. The younger son was a little bit rebellious. I'm a younger son, and I am a little bit rebellious. And this younger son, he wanted to take all of his portion of the inheritance from his father before his father was dead. Back in those days, in that culture, asking for your inheritance it represents one of the most rudest things that one could possibly do. It's actually saying to your father that I wish you were dead. So this younger son asked for his inheritance, and he took it, and it says in that story that he went to a faraway land, and he squandered all of his rich father's inheritance upon a lavish lifestyle of sin. And it talked about a scenario where this younger son had spent all of his money, and he found himself working in a pig's pen, feeding the pigs. He was so poor that he was feeding not only the pigs, but he was feeding with the pigs. For someone that was so rich, with so much security, he wanted to do his own thing, and he took his inheritance, and he squandered it all. But he found himself at this situation where he was at his very, very lowest point. And it said that he humbly returned to his father's house. And the story described that his father was looking out one day, standing on his beautiful deck, looking into the horizon as the sun was setting. He saw this little figure and he starts recognizing, puts on his spectacles. Is that my son? Is that my son coming from far, far yonder? As the youngest son started to walk closer and closer, the father recognizes that's my youngest son. He's a bit dirty looking, but he's my youngest son. And it says that this father ran out to him. He grabbed his robe and starts running out to him. And the significance of grabbing his robe is that someone in those days that was so rich and so dignified does not run. He walks and his servants would serve him. But he did not care. This father loved his youngest son so much that he didn't care what people thought. He grabbed his robe and he ran out to his son. He didn't come up to his son and grab his ear and go, "You silly, stupid young son, disrespectful, you know." No, he ran up and he hugged his son. "Welcome home, son." And he threw a massive party to welcome his son home. Sometimes we need to get to the point, the lowest point, where we realize that we need God. That God is not just an addition to our already very busy life. He is not just someone like a genie that we rub three times and we ask for three wishes. For some of us, we have to get to that lowest point. Is that why it's called good news? Is it good news because we get to go to heaven? Oftentimes people will preach the good news and say, you know, one day all of this will be over. One day you and I will die. And there's only two places you're going to go. One is to heaven and one is to hell. Do you want to go to heaven? If you do, quickly pray this prayer and then you're a Christian, and then you'll go to heaven, and I'll issue you a ticket, and you put it in your back pocket and forget it for the rest of your life. Is that what faith is? Is that why it's good news? Is it good news because you're lonely? And the fact is that amongst Christians, you will find real community. Is that why it's good news? Because everywhere else, at your workplace, in your community, amongst your family, nobody likes you, but church people, they're kind. They have free food after church. They give you money if you're poor. Is that why it's good news? Is it good news because I love my church? Because I feel proud to be part of this organization that's well respected in the community. This organization that came from nothing, that it's now significant. It's got a beautiful building. It is well respected in community. I love my church. Is that why it's good news? Is it good news because Jesus will be my best friend? Is that why it's good news? What is the gospel? The good news. Why is it good? And why is it news? Is it good news? Because in Jesus, I will find my identity. Some of you are thinking, Get on with the point, Pastor Weeong. You know, I get it already. What am I trying to say here? You see, it's good news, and all of these things that we've talked about are aspects of good news. It's like we're seeing something, the good news, through a little keyhole, and we're seeing parts of it, right? All of these things are reasons why it's good and why it's news. And for each and every one of us, there may be different reasons why we consider the gospel, the message of Christianity, good and news. But let me play through these statements again and show us something here. Is it good news because God will fix all of my problems? Is it good news because I get to go to heaven? Is it good news because I get to find a real community? Is it good news because I love my church? Is it good news because Jesus will be my best friend? Is it good news because I will know my identity? Let me share with us a different perspective. Let's take off those glasses and put on some new ones. A different perspective. The good news is about the King and His kingdom. Let me say that again. The good news that Christians believe in and that you and I should remember and focus on is that this message is about a King and His kingdom. Why is God the King? And why is it important that we remember that He is the King? You see, oftentimes I found over my life as a Christian, since I was a younger person, became a Christian when I was around 21 years old. I went to church since I was 5 years old. I did everything that a Christian young person would do, but I didn't have an understanding of Christianity that was really impactful for myself until I was 21. But since then, I've experienced different times in my life where all of those statements were true for me, and they were all reasons that I subscribed to as to why I believed in my faith and that why I'm a Christian. But rarely would I remember or think about this God that we serve, that He is the King. I knew intellectually that God is the King. I knew intellectually that God created everything. But it's almost like I went to that class at university and I put it aside and put it on my shelf and I moved on with my life. And my faith was surrounded by God helping me to fix my problems, God helping me to find community, God helping me to not be lonely, God helping me. You see, God is the King because He created everything. He created everything. Without God, nothing would exist. Without God, the Bible says He holds the world in the palm of His hands. That intricately, God ensures everything holds together. That science itself does not define God. Science itself discovers what God has already created. The power and the intelligence in this creator that we call God. Because He created everything, it belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. So why is this news good? That there is a God that is King and we live in His kingdom. It's good because when He first created everything, it was created good. A few months ago, I talked about my sermon title as We Are the World. That God created everything. There's a concept called created goodness. When He first created everything, it was intended to be good. Some of us may have heard of the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were the first human beings placed there. Did you know that God's purpose when He created everything was to create everything good? Why do you think it needed to be good? It's not a trick question. Because God is good. God, who is good, who is perfect, cannot relate to something that is not good. So when he first created everything, it was created good. But the Bible also says that God is love. He's not just loving, he is the essence of love. And because God is love, he needs an object of love. And some of you have heard me say this before, that love itself requires a response. When if God created you and I as robots, we could not love him. A robot's response to its creator is not love. And so when God created everything, he gave us the ability to respond. And Adam and Eve, unfortunately, they chose to be independent. They chose to do their own thing. They chose, the Bible says that there was an enemy and it came in the form of a serpent. And the serpent lied to Eve. The serpent said to Eve, "Look at that tree. Did God really say you shouldn't eat from that tree? Did God really say?" See, for thousands of years, this enemy of God, Satan, has been using his only weapon, which is to lie. If you've ever struggled with insecurities, if you've ever struggled with thoughts about yourself that are not true, if you've ever struggled with depression or anxiety, if you've ever worried about things that you shouldn't worry about, so often, not always, but so often, all of those things come from God's enemy because he wants to destroy you. He wants you to worry about things that are not worth worrying about because we live in a fallen world. Adam and Eve believed the lie of the devil. Adam and Eve chose to take of that fruit of the tree where God says you can have everything. You can have everything, all the animals, all the fruits, all the vegetable, everything in this perfect garden. But there's the one thing, don't touch it. I don't know if you guys have ever had a plate with little children, right? If you've got little children, you said, okay, hey, sweetie, you can play with all of that, but don't touch that. Guess what little sweetie's gonna do, right? Did you send little sweetie to a class called Sin 101? No. Why would little sweetie know how to sin? Someone said to me, I work on the university campuses and I talk to strangers about God and I would explain my perspective and they said to me, you know, I believe that humans are essentially good. We're basically good. I'm like, explain basically. You know, I'm not as bad as Hitler or, you know, I've never murdered anyone. You know, I've never done anything that's really bad. And I'm like, okay, so you're saying that you're basically good. Okay, I agree with that. I can see that you're not in prison because I'm talking to you outside of prison, right? So, but you see, the thing is that they think their perspective is that the requirement of being with God is basically good. But the point is that the requirement to be with God is good, not basically good. Good means 100%. When God created everything, it was good. And then when Adam and Eve chose to go their own way, when Adam and Eve chose to do their own thing, that independent spirit within them, you know, because the devil, the enemy said to Eve, you know, if you eat of it, then you will be like God. You'll have the knowledge like God. So, you know, God is really jealous. He doesn't want you to be like him. So that's why he told you not to eat of the fruit. So just eat it. You see how the devil twists things. Oftentimes, you get offended by things, you know, you get angry at someone and someone looks at you, you're like, you know, and they're like, oh, they're hating on me, they're lying about me, they're spreading rumors about me. So often, things come out of lies. It's not the requirement and the criteria is not basically good. It's good, full stop. And since then, the fall, as you can see, the strike out there, when humanity fell, little sweetie and you and I had this thing called, this spiritual cancer within us called sin, and it's been there ever since. Say all you like, try all you want. We can go to church all we want, and we can do all the religious activity that we want to, but sin is within your nature and within my nature. It's not your fault that you have sin. Stay with me here. It's not your fault that you have sin. You were born with it. But there is hope that one day, this God that created everything, he will come back and restore all of creation. This king will come and restore his kingdom. That he will not allow his kingdom to remain broken. You and I live in this period called now, as you can see there, imperfect at creation. There is pain. You might say to me, Weong, but my life's pretty good right now. I'm like, just wait. Because you don't know what tomorrow may bring. If you're not in pain right now, you might be in pain tomorrow. Where we're living now, I'm not trying to paint a negative picture just to disappoint you or discourage you, but let me tell you that we live in an imperfect creation. But when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he reconnected the imperfect creation with the intended perfect creation by going on the cross, because it required someone who was completely human like you and I, someone that is completely God, to bridge that gap. And this someone was Jesus. He died because he was human. Because God can't die. He was fully human and he could die. He took the sins. He paid for the penalty of our sins. And because he paid for our penalty, we have the ability to live once again in God's created goodness. God will come again. Jesus will come again. And he will restore all of creation back to the way he intended. And God will get to enjoy forever. This king will get to enjoy forever with you and I in his kingdom. If someone said to you, if there's a person that is all-powerful, this person that's all-knowing, and this person is just the definition of love, this person wants to be your friend. This person wants to be your boss. This person wants to look after you forever. I would say most, if not all, human beings would say, yes, of course. Why not? An all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving being wants to look after you for all of eternity. That is the God that we serve. That is why it's good. And that's why it's news. Because the old was this broken creation. When Jesus came, he died and he rose again in bodily form. He restored the pathway to goodness. And let me say, it's only a pathway to goodness because we still live currently in a broken creation. So why is this pathway important? You see, this pathway is important because it provides access for you and I to God. In our sinful nature, without Jesus' covering, without his protection, there is no way we can be in the presence of God without being destroyed. But you see, because Jesus, God himself, came down. God himself, the king himself came down. And he lived the life of a peasant. The father of the prodigal son ran out to the son. He didn't wait for the son to come to him. You see, the Bible says in Romans 5 verse 8 that God demonstrates his love for us in this, that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner, not because of your fault. You were born with it. We may try all we like to be reconnected with God, but we can't. And that's why Jesus came. And he provided this pathway of reconciliation that if we would put our trust in Jesus, if we would believe that there is a king that created his kingdom, and he provided a way for us to be part of this kingdom again, what would you do? Would you decide to be part of this kingdom, or would you prefer to go your own way, like Adam and Eve? The good news is that there is an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving King. He created everything. He will return to restore everything. And he is inviting you and I to be part of that plan. Imagine the Queen of England, or, I don't know, the president of some amazing company that you really, really respect, comes to you and says, Jez, I've got a massive project. Nobody knows about it. It's multi-billion dollars. Would you want to be part of this project? I've searched long and hard all of the world. I've done a global search, and I'm selecting you to be part of this team. What would you say? Oh, my gosh, right? Wow, me? See, the king is selecting you, Paul, and you, Eugene, you, Miguel, you, Leanne. He's saying, I have a plan, and the plan is going ahead. I have a plan to restore all of creation. I have a plan that one day I am going to come and restore all of creation to the original goodness. But when that happens, everyone who is with me will come with me. But everyone who is not with me will be left behind. So, Jez, would you help me gather up all your friends? Would you help me, Paul, gather up all your family members? Tell them there is a good news that this king, take that book off the shelf that you've forgotten about. Read about the king and his kingdom. Remember that the good news is the king is coming again, and he's going to restore all of creation, and he's going to invite people, and he has already invited you, and he's asking you to be part of this team, and he's asking you to help him to bring everyone along, because he does not desire anyone to be away from him. Because the clock is ticking. One day the gates will be closing. When so many people are still trying to please God, so many people are doing all that they can to be a righteous person, so many people are thinking, I'm basically good. I give to charity. I even go to church 3 times a year. I go at Easter, I go at Christmas, and I maybe one more time during the year sometime. I've got my little passbook and I've got it stamped. I'm basically a good person. Why doesn't a good God accept me because I've done some good things? Because the requirement, the perspective, and the expectation is not basically good. It's good. It's 100%. And you and I, no one can fulfill that requirement except through Jesus. If you would put your trust in Jesus alone, if you would put your hands in Jesus' hands, if you would choose to follow Jesus, if you would choose each day to learn and to grow closer and closer to Jesus, if you would choose to obey the commands of the King. You see, because if my faith is all about Jesus will fix my problems, Jesus will be my best friend, Jesus will be there for me, Jesus will give me new communities. Jesus will give me a great church. What happens if the next problem comes along? What happens when someone offends you? What happens that your church is not so cool anymore because there's a better church down the road? What happens then? If your faith and my faith is based on me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. That's a joke, by the way. It doesn't exist. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the only Trinity. Do you see the different perspective here? If our faith is all about me, myself, and I. Oh, Pastor, I'm struggling with my faith. Why is it, bro? My girlfriend broke up with me. Pastor, I feel so far away from God. Why is it, bro? I lost my job. Pastor, I feel so angry at God. Why, bro? Because my mom got sick. Pastor, I feel so disappointed at God. Because those people at that church, they're hypocrites. They feed me, they give me free stuff, and then as soon as I'm not a new member anymore, they just ignore me. You see what I'm saying? But the good news is that He died for you, that He paid your price, that He helps you to change, that He gives you purpose, that He is calling you to a mission because He is your King. Truth is still true regardless of our opinion. You know, so whether you believe it or not, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. Like, I don't believe in gravity. I jump off the sky tower and I will find out soon that gravity is true. Right? Truth is still true regardless of our circumstances. You see, the cool thing is that God is not bothered by your circumstance. Because if our faith is so connected to me, myself, and I, our circumstances changes like the weather in Auckland. The Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This King is inviting you and I to be part of this mission. How exciting, what an honor, what a privilege. What a privilege that He's saying, you stay there, I'm coming to you. Not only am I coming to you, I'm gonna forgive you if you choose to repent. I'm going to change you if you want to change. I'm gonna give you new purpose if you want to have a new purpose. And I'm gonna involve you in this massive plan. Sometimes I think, wow, God is inviting me to be part of a divine task. He's trusting these human hands with a divine task. He's trusting you and I to help people find eternity. What a mind-blowing mission. What can you and I do to qualify for that? Nothing. You see, He qualifies you because He loves you. Wow. So let us believe this gospel. Let us believe this gospel. As I wrap up here, and that talks about what's coming next, let me just summarize again. I want to encourage all of us to look at our faith. If you believe in Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, awesome. I want to talk to you for a second. If you're a follower of Jesus, try to change your perspective. That your faith is not about God serving your needs. You might think that you're not thinking like that. I got a rude awakening recently when I was praying and reading my Bible. I was praying about good stuff. I was praying, Lord, bless this church, grow this church, help us reach more people. But I realized that the motivation of that was me. I wanted to feel successful. Is it okay to be honest in church? I wanted to feel, look at us. This church is so successful. So many people are coming. I wanted to feel a sense of acceptance from God. Like he will be so pleased with me because I've done a good job. But God reminded me. He said, Weong, stop. 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 I died for you already. Stop. Stop undoing the cross. Stop undoing what I've done for you on the cross. I had to take a moment to say sorry to my King. I had to take a moment to appreciate him, to say thank you for the cross. Like that song said, thank you for the cross. Thank you for choosing me, even when I could not have chosen you. Thank you for looking across history, billions of people, and choosing me. Thank you for helping me love you, even though I could not love you. Stop. I've paid for it all. Come be part of my team. I will give you the weapons. I will give you the skills. I will give you the abilities. I will give you the future. I will give you the hope. But remember, I am the King.